allowed to use my family as examples because y'all talk too much. Embarrass my little children. So the conversation I heard in another family's house. Went like this. The son of that house asked, why do we have to go to camp? The mother in that house said, because I have to go to work. The son of that house said, why do you have to go to work? It's the summer. The mother of the house says, we have to do training. The son asked, why do you have to do training? The mother said, because I want to keep my job. The son asks, why do you need a job? The mother replies, because you want to eat. The son then said, I don't want to go to camp. The father then replied, boy, go. The father stepped in and said, boy, go. And there were no more questions. For some of us, we're still asking God, why? Why this? Why that? Why this didn't happen? Why that didn't happen? Why did my marriage fail? Why am I still in Columbia, South Carolina? I thought you said this was just a temporary assignment. Why am I still taking high blood pressure medicine? Why, even after I lost all this weight, I'm still on insulin? Why ain't my hair grown back? These ain't my questions. These y'all's questions. Why do I walk every day but still can't seem to lose a pound? Why can't I find anyone who will return my text? Why am I lonely? Why? Now, most of us who are my age and older, when we ask our parents why, there was usually a one-sentence answer with two syllables, because. And you didn't even need, I said so. It was just for my home, just two syllables, because. But we live in an information society. And now it might be imperative, it might behoove you to, when your children ask you why, to give them answer to their questions. Because if you don't give them answers to their questions, their friends will give them the wrong answer. I know many of us were raised just as when you said because, that was the end of the subject. But we live in kids now and live in schools now and have apparatuses now that they can find out any answer they want to find out. And it's best for you to explain the rationale and the reasoning for your decisions. I know that's not how you were raised and how I was raised, but in this new society and in this new changing culture, you got to change some things. It's imperative, again, to instruct your children, to raise your children, still in the fear and admonition of the Lord. So here is Mark in chapter 16, the last chapter of his book after Jesus died, after he was raised from the dead, after he comes and appears not only to Mary, but then appears to the 11. There used to be 12, but one commits suicide. Anytime you try to sell out the Savior for silver, you have committed suicide. You'll get that when you get home. So it's that early first Sunday morning. The guys are hidden in a room, locked. They thought they had the door locked, but Jesus can come through locked doors. I know you think nobody knows where you are. I ain't going to go another further. But my Savior comes through locked doors. And even though you got one key, even though you told the front desk to put the room in a... Jesus still comes through locked doors. And so he tells them to go. Into all the world, not just Columbia, not just South Carolina, not just North America, but go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Let me pause and put another order in the meter and thank those of you who got on social media last week after I asked you to witness, and those who I do not know who witness, and who I know you did, because I've seen people do it, and I thank God that you at least did one thing your pastor asked you to do. And you became a witness for 1 week about what God has done for you in your life. And I want to thank each one of you who last week did something to spread the word of Jesus Christ. And I promise you there will be fruit on the vine. But God has told us through his son Jesus Christ that we have to go ye into all the world and preach this gospel to every creature. Not just your next door neighbor, not just your co-worker, not just people you like, not just people who look like you, not like people who dress like you. But we have to preach it to every gospel person, surely every creature. There are three things I want to leave you with, and we'll have you back to your cookout. Number one, Ron, we have to spread this gospel because we've got to help Jesus. Somebody say help. And one of the things that we've got to do is to help. We've got to help Jesus. You know, there ain't nothing wrong with getting help. Now, some of y'all want to be islands unto yourselves. Some of you all want to be super Christian, mighty warrior. Then you fall out and have nervous breakdowns because you ain't never asked nobody for help. And one of the things that you've got to understand, you've got to, it's okay to ask people for help until it becomes an emergency. Because there's some people who only ask for help when it becomes an emergency. And I apologize, the church can't always help you at 4 o'clock when your rent is due at 5. And then get mad at us because the check took a week to cut. You knew 2 weeks ago that you... Sometimes your enemy is your inner me. And so it's nothing wrong to ask for help. Early in Genesis, he created Adam a helpmeet because all of us need help. When Jesus was commissioned to save this world, he didn't do it by himself. He chose 12 men to help him. And now after he left from the earth in the physical form, he says, go help me by preaching my gospel. He said, afterwards he appeared to the 11 themselves as they were reclining, which means they were chilling. That's the problem with all a lot of us. We just come to church and recline. Help me, Holy Ghost. Make my own self happy in my three-piece robe. Just be chilling, reclining. That this is not a reclining religion. This is not a chilling religion. This is a working, walking, talking, preparing, tithing, giving religion. This is a religion that serves others. And he says they're reclining at the table. And he rebuked them. Oh, you don't want to be rebuked by Jesus. Then for their unbelief and hardness of heart, because they had not believed those who saw him after he had risen. He rebuked them because they did not believe in those who told the story that he had risen. One of my atheist friends, it's good to have a few unbelievers in your camp because they keep you on your toes, but one of my atheist friends asked me why he didn't rise in public. Why didn't he get up in public? I said, well, how much more public did you need it? I mean, what you wanted on CNN, on World Star Hip Hop? I mean, how much more public did you need his rising to be? Two women were there and saw the empty tomb. They go and get two men. The two men didn't go tell the other 11. Then he shows up to all 11. Then he shows up to you and to me. How much more public do you need it? But he says you've got to help those who do not believe. Because there's still people, half the world really now, even half of America, and it's growing every year, those that no longer believe or do not believe. And it's up to us who do believe to tell them why they should believe. Even if they don't drink the water, you still got to give them the glass. I know it gets frustrating sometimes when those who you know that 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 you know. That you know that you know. Do you still know? That you know that he is real, that he still lives, and that he means the world to you. Then when people are washing their cars on Sunday morning, cutting their grass, and I just want to go with a drive-by in my neighborhood sometimes. I throw my Bible at them. Wasn't raised old school, I was raised right school. Y'all got grandmas who cooked on Saturday because they thought it was a sin to even cook on Sunday. Well, ain't nobody cooking. I mean, go in that little reserved parking space where you pick up your food. That might be sinful. I'm joking with you right now. But we have to help Jesus. Second thing we got to do is help heal. We got to help heal. Look what the word says. And these signs will accompany those who believe. In my name, they will cast out demons. They will speak in new tongues. Now, y'all can't speak in new tongues because you ain't spoke yet all morning. You ain't spoke to the person that came on your row, especially if you're on that end seat. I've been here since 7:30. You want to cross over my ankles now? They will speak in new tongues. They will pick up servants with their hands. And they drink any deadly poison, it will not hurt them. They will lay their hands on the sick, and they will recover.
Yes.
You know, Jesus gave the same power that he had to every disciple. Read your word. He gave every power he had to every disciple. He says, you can go out. You don't need me. You can go out and heal in my name. But the problem is we're trying to heal in the doctor's name. We're trying to heal in the oncologist's name. We're trying to heal in Palmetto Health name. He says, if you pray and lay hands in my name, there will be recovery of sight. There will be recovery of hearing. The cancer, the demon of cancer will have to flee if you believe. That's why when that boy who was a lunatic, that boy that was in the water and in the fire, that boy that came in and out, that boy who had lunacy, because they thought if you were crazy, they thought it was because of the moon. That's why it's called lunacy, from lunar, mean moon. That it, when the moon changed, you changed. Ooh, there's a whole lot of lunatics in here. Help me, somebody. They tried to heal that boy who was a lunatic, and they wondered why they couldn't heal him. And that father in the text was a good father. He says, I brought my boy to your disciples, but they could not heal him. And they wanted to know why they could not heal him, because you had given us the power to heal. Why we couldn't heal him? He simply said, because you didn't believe you could. And the reason why some of y'all don't have no... Now y'all don't got booze. Okay, this is Spring Valley crowd. The reason why you ain't got what you got what you need, don't have the power you have, don't have the job that you have, don't have the person you need, don't have the what you want, is because you do have no son in the back when you preach on. Yes, believe! And it will come to pass, because what you believe in is what he has put in your heart. And it's the matters of life. They don't flow from the head. They don't flow from the head. The matters of life flow from your can't make me popular. Still can't have me have my own tick. I ain't throwing no shade, I'm throwing sunshine. If you preach in hell, don't sell. But if you don't preach hell, you are not preaching the whole gospel of Jesus Christ. And then you got some preachers now that don't bump their heads on my hell is make believe. I don't understand anybody who can believe that he'll make the enemy your footstool. That all praise is due unto him, that he'll make a way out of no way. I can't understand how anyone who believes parts of the scripture but don't believe the whole word. I just don't get it. Listen, we all sinners. I don't care what sin you do. Don't tell all the problem I have with those who might be homosexual. And just say you're a sinner. And let's be friends and get on the way. You know, don't try to tell me that God made you this way. He ain't got nobody a sinner. You have the choice to sin. Don't take what you want like it's in this cafeteria. Lord knows I just... I'm sorry, I went off there. God knows I was in the spirit. I went off. I just saw some veal parmesan on that line. But a lot of people treat the Bible like a cafeteria. You want some of this, want some of that. I like this. I don't want none of that. The Bible is the Bible. It's whatever your mama, in the back of the day, we ain't no short order cook. Any of your mamas ain't no short order cook. I don't care what you want to eat. This is what I cook. And if you're hungry, you're going to eat it. And the plate going to stay right there until you get hungry. I ain't going by every store to get what you want to eat. That's the Bible. Whatever daddy has put on the plate, that's what we got to eat. And one of the things he put on the plate is if you do not believe in his son, you are going to hell. And what in hell do you want? I'm back in the spirit now. I ain't in the world right now. I'm asking the question, what in hell do you want? Why you want to go through hell on earth and hell down here and then go die and go to hell again? And I've been through too much hell to go through it again. But anybody want to thank God for Jesus? Anybody want to thank God for Jesus? That he died so I can see him again. He died so I can go to heaven. He died so I can be in that great coronation. Just hate.